him. Tell him what you just did. Tell him what you just did.
I just took a shot. Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of Mostly Peaceful Latinas. I'm your host, Linda.
And I'm your host, Bella. I also just took a shot.
And today we have a very special show. Let me put this down. And my ear looks crazy, so let me fix myself a little bit. Guys, we're trying to get our life together. And today we have a very special show for you guys and two very special guests. One of our guests is still missing, is in traffic. But before we go on, please don't forget to like this video, share, subscribe, hit that notification button. And I'm going to introduce our first guest, Justice. Hi.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. So for those of you who haven't heard of Justice before, Justice has a platform on Truth Social where he discusses conservative values, but more important, Christian conservative values, which are so important right now. I am obsessed with your takes. Obsessed. I consistently screenshot them and send them to Linda, and it's like, how based is this guy? I feel like you're absolutely setting the tone on Truth Social of where I wish the party was headed and not where we're at right now. Linda and I consistently talk a lot about how Republicans want so badly to be able to fight this extremism that we're seeing from the left with moderation. Yeah. We talk about, it's like, well, you can't fight extremism with moderation. There has to be some level of radical thought thinking. Yeah. No violence, of course, but there does have to be a way of, like, how do we challenge this super degenerate culture that's being pushed on us from the left, and that's to have a very radical traditional take on our views on family, on God, on faith. And you absolutely match that, so thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
You're very much appreciated.
That makes me feel so good. I love to hear that. I think of it as positive. I think of it as a positive vision, you know, like, we just try to stop everything the bad guys are doing, and we don't really have, like, an idea of what we want to do once we've successfully stopped them. And I think that if we had an idea, a lot of those people that are just chasing down the left would.
So for our followers, like, how would you? I'm so sorry. How would you describe, like, how would you describe your content? And by the way, he's mostly on Truth Social, so you can obviously plug in your ads.
Yeah.
Ads, socials. How do you? Socials, right?
At Truth Social.
So how would you describe your content?
So I focus on God, technology, and politics. Those are the three things that I know something about, and I just don't really know anything about anything else. So that's just the stuff that I talk about. Yeah. Okay. I mean, you guys said it. I just try to say the truth as I see it.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to have a positive vision for the future. Right. Something that people are going to be like, yeah, let's do that.
We're excited about the future.
Running from the bad guys.
So our other guest is Shaney. Sorry, my accent. I keep saying Shaney.
Shaney
Rich. And he is the street interview guy that I think Reyna asked in the comments. I met him last year. Obviously, his TikToks were going viral. He's a Gen Z.
Some of you have seen video, Linda's video that went viral with Shaney Rich, where she does the interview
on my rollerblades.
On her rollerblades, and she gets asked if she would date a guy with pronouns on his bio.
Yes. So that's you know, he's doing a great job. He is young. He's excited. And he is getting gas, apparently. So he should be here in about like 15 to 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's funny we call them Zoomers because they're always running late.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense. That's you used to say the same thing about millennials, though.
So today we are going to discuss a few topics. The first one being Sam Smith's really creepy and degenerate gender-bending video. We're also going to talk a little bit about what is going on in politics, particularly with President Trump attacking Governor DeSantis. A few observations that we've made. I also got into a few fights today on Twitter with Ron DeSantis stands. And we have a few.
We've been holding back.
Honestly,
we've really been holding back from having this conversation.
We didn't want to have this conversation because.
Not on True Social, but on the podcast.
We don't want to attack the governor. He's been a great governor. You guys know that.
I don't like using the word great.
He's been a good governor.
He's been a good governor.
And he's been the least bad governor.
He's been the world's okayest governor.
Right. Well, let me finish my topics, please. Please, can I finish my topics? Thank you. We're going to talk a little bit about what is going on Twitter with that. And we obviously have our desgraciado of the week, which is going to be very nasty. And then we're going to talk about Mr. Beast, who allegedly is, a live streamer, right? And he, like, you guys know about Mr. Beast and what's going on?
Have you been keeping up with the story
of
Mr. Beast?
Anybody?
Okay. For those of you who don't know, well, we're going to brief you guys a little bit on Mr. Beast, but he's a famous YouTuber who actually goes viral quite often, but has recently, his latest stunt was that he was, where was he, in Brazil? Where was it that he went?
I think he was in Brazil,
someplace in Latin America, and basically he used his funds to cure 1,000 individuals that were blind, and ironically enough, that act is actually getting a lot of backlash on the internet because there's always something to be mad about on the internet. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Wow. All right. Getting off to a great start. Thank you, Adam, always for supporting us with a $75 donation. MLP bucks are not to be used in moderation. Here's to growing the Anti-Lizard People Justice League. Yeah. God bless you, ladies. Per usual, guys, remember that we are 100% self-funded. No Illuminati, no lizard people. Our sponsors are all patriots.
So with that being said, Angel, can you please post the one of the creepy Sam?
So we were getting ready to discuss the topics that we were going to talk about today, and I kept on telling them that we got to talk about the Sam Smith video. And she kept on like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I'm like, we got to talk about the Sam Smith video. So finally, we were already getting ready to leave, and I'm like, Linda, you gotta watch. She's like, fine, I'm just gonna watch the video. And she was, how long did you get into it? Like maybe 45 seconds in before you're like, I'm not gonna fucking watch this. I'm not watching this anymore.
Yeah, I did like a minute long, and then I was like, I'm out.
So
very weird.
Recording artist Sam Smith, gender bending recording artist, if you will, Sam Smith has just released his latest video, and it is filled with filth. It's supposed to test all sorts of gender boundaries. You've got women depicted as men depicted as women. A couple of those images. Can you bring up some of those images, Angel?
There's the first one. I know, that's your computer. Can you see it?
Yeah, there's always a delay on our computer.
There's always a delay.
Angel's screen. But basically, all sorts. So we've got Sam Smith that is... I don't understand the whole cis thing. So they keep on calling him a cis man, but it's a white cis man.
Well, here it is.
It just means you're not trans.
It just means you're not trans.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
So there's a level of
privilege normal.
To that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize that was something that had to be. So now there's a certain, because they claim it's like a privilege
that he has.
So if
you're not non-binary, and if you're not trans, then, because non-binary is either you're a woman or you're a man. Usually trans is like you do have a gender. And then, like he says, the rest of us normal people are cisgendered.
That's, and by the way, we're all just normal people.
Yeah.
Some people are just disordered.
Right.
What? That's what's happening.
Okay, I like that. Disordered. Yeah, I like that. So here's one of the images you guys can see on the screen that is actually Sam Smith. It's a little small. But the one that you guys saw now, he's kind of like doing the guy from the back. It's really, really creepy.
Can you go back to that other picture in a second? Yeah, not the one with the drag queen on it. The one where he's dressed very provocatively. So Sam Smith is wearing a corset. His bare chest is out. He's got pasties on. He's depicting sexual acts online. So clearly it's gotten a lot of backlash. It hasn't gotten backlash. It's actually gotten a lot of praise, right?
Praise, really?
Is my camera on? Yeah, I didn't see the light on.
Oh, okay.
just kidding, guys. He's actually been getting a lot of praise for how brave he is, for, you know, depicting himself in this like female garb. But then also part of the other social justice cause that's kind of latching onto this is that there has been people that have criticized his weight gain. Huh. So then we also have the
fat tassels. Shamers.
Right. He's got tassels.
He's got the tassels.
to show them how, Linda.
He's got the tassel. So we can't play the video because it would be like a copyright infringement, and then we would get a strike on the channel. But when you guys can, go watch the video. It's very, very disturbing. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, you are our guest, and you do talk a lot about religion, theocracy, Christian values and whatnot. Why are we here? How did we get here? Like, what is your perspective? Like, how do we get to the point where we are not only praising people like Sam Smith and their degeneracy, but also that they think it's okay to do this and normal?
Yeah.
Normal. Like, what is your opinion on that?
Well, a lot of people would say that we're in the last days. And okay. I would say
people have been saying that for a very long time.
Yeah. Well, that's right? The thing is that they're always saying that, but actually things seem to be getting a lot. Like, if you're not on the TV, if you're not watching the news, things are actually getting better and better. Right. So I think what this actually is to me, this is like the dying groans of a culture that knows that it's on its last breath.
Like the dead cat bounce.
Yeah. This is like, they're just trying to desperately get attention. So they're coming up with the most degenerate nonsense and just shoving it in your face. To see
how far they can push it.
To see how far they can push it. But also because they know it's not going to last forever. And like Satan, your kingdom will come tumbling down. Mm-hmm. You know, they will call evil good. They will call good evil. That's what they're doing. And yeah, I think to me, it's like desperation. They're just desperate for attention. They're desperate for our recognition. They want us to pay attention to them. They want to get on our nerves. But if you just don't watch the TV, everything's great.
Yeah, and that's actually something that I noticed, especially for my friends who are not very political or care about any of this stuff. Like, to them, the world is going on. Like, this is not a big deal.
They're not concerned at all. They're not
concerned about it.
They don't wake up in the levels of anxiety that we wake up with every day. They're not wondering if the world's going
to this is just crazy. Obviously, like, I kind of have to wonder if these people, or you want to call it liberals, globalists, or whatever it is, lizard people, I have to wonder if they don't understand that there's always a counter effect, backlash, the pendulum swings the other side whenever there's extreme degeneracy. And we know that a lot of times that comes in the form of fascism. Now, our friends, our enemies like to point at stuff like this, say, oh, see, they're preaching for fascism. Most people are actually pretty moderate, and most people want to be left alone, right? So if none of this stuff was pushed, if none of this was being pushed onto us, if it wasn't in the mainstream, let's say this was happening in a cabaret behind closed doors, you and I wouldn't care. We wouldn't be thinking about it because we're not seeing it, right? It's not in our face.
Right, you can choose not to participate
about
it, in it.
We think about it because it's in our face. So the backlash to degeneracy is usually a strong authoritarian, usually very religious right. So I have to ask myself, do they not know that that's what usually happens? You know, that this type of degeneracy breeds fascism, authoritarian, you know what I mean?
And are you thinking that they're deliberately trying to make something like that? Like, they want us to?
I just don't know. It just seems like they could be doing that because...
You'd think they're pushing us towards that?
I don't know if they are. I'm just saying, like, they have to know. They've seen history. They've seen what happened in Spain. They've seen what happened in Germany. They've seen what happened in many places.
But don't you think they're arrogant enough to think that this time it'll be different? They've seen what happened in the
Middle East countries. Maybe. Or maybe people won't revolt.
I think that the culture that we have among Christians in this country today is, like, so tolerant and accepting that there's virtually no change. Like, we just don't have the will to... power that would, you know, that would result in like a serious backlash. And so I have a hard time. The thing is this, these people are fools, right? Like, they are like Sam Smith. I used to really like Sam Smith. Like, Sam Smith,
I thought his music was
100%.
Good.
Me too.
Like, some of those early songs, I remember thinking pop music is dead, but Sam Smith is single-handedly keeping it alive. Like, the guy was just such a talented male vocalist, and there was really no one like him. And this is the thing, like, who's he really hurting here? He's only hurting himself, right? Like, you know, 100 years from now, he could have been looked back on as, like, you know, the white Sam Cooke. And now they won't look back on him at all. Like, it's his legacy that he's just completely throwing out.
Do you think
trash.
That he's kind of like bowing to the mob? Because when Sam Smith first came out as gay, he didn't want to be defined by his sexuality. That was something that he made a point of saying. Like, I don't want to be defined by this. Like, I am a gay man, but that's not who I am. That's just something that I'm just defining
myself as a gay man.
Right. I'm just a gay man. But he didn't want to be defined as the gay man. He wanted to be Sam Smith, the musician, or Sam Smith, whatever. And it seems like now pushing the boundaries as he is. When you look at this last music video, when you also look at what was the song that he had out prior to that, the Unholy song.
Unholy song.
When you end up looking at that, you realize that now he is starting to push these gender boundaries. So you can no longer say that you don't care about being identified by your sexuality when now your entire image revolves around your sexuality.
Well, isn't the whole thing just an absurdity? I mean, he says he doesn't want to be defined, but he defines himself that way. He does everything over, like, it's just absurdity. None of it makes sense. There's no reason to it. This is what I'm saying. It's like,
well, it's all sensationalism.
It is.
Right. It's for a moment. They're just getting attention for a moment, but they're degrading themselves in such a way that his legacy is gone. I mean, he's not going to be like Sam Cooke.
You know, and Angie made a good comment. Angie says, Christians are so watered down now. It's wild. Literally, pastors are preaching pro-LGBT propaganda from the pulpit. So this is part of what we're seeing with the culture, where it's almost like, can you really be a mainstream artist these days and not give into this like gender ideology agenda that's being pushed?
Well, just really quick.
A country music artist.
We have a super chat by our girl, Katrina. Thank you so much. She said to her favorite Dama, she gave us 99. Thank you so much. Dama. We're really appreciating.
I love you're amazing. Kat. Thank you, Kat. I was actually talking to her today.
Yeah, she's awesome. So, you know, with the whole Christianity thing, I always tell you guys, especially my Instagram audience, and I said it this week, this is a reason why countries like Russia and China take such extreme measures to censor stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that I agree with it. It's not that I'm preaching for it or advocating for it. I'm just trying to have people understand why they do the things that they do, whether we agree with them or not. So in Russia, as an example, in 2013, they first started with a law that was they banned all LGBT propaganda for children.
Praise God.
The first, right. Amazing. Amazing. Like, praise God. Yeah. And of course, it got extreme backlash. And that's when President Obama was in power. And he's the one that, you know, in 2012, was it when he signed the gays could get married in the U.S.? There was a lot of backlash, obviously, from the U.S. and the global homo regimes. And, Shaney is in the comments. Bella, can you?
Yeah, I'll go get him.
Right. Oh, yo, here. Hold he's on. Here. Yeah, that was just one hold minute on. Ago. He was just a minute ago. He's texting.
So take your phone so I can send
shame
you his
self. Take your phone. Go on Instagram chat. Listen, stay in the chat, but go on Instagram and follow Shaney Rich and shame him for his lateness and his disorganization,
for sure.
His Zoomer ways.
Shaney.
If we don't shame these Zoomers, they will keep on being late to things.
There he is. It's true. So,
oh, here.
So with the whole Russia situation, they first start with just banning it for children, right?
Yeah.
So they say there's no propaganda for children. There's not going to be educational books. There's not going to be Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network.
Right.
Anything that doesn't align with conservatism, with Christianity, with the nuclear family is out for children.
Yeah.
Now, last year, they expanded on the law. They didn't just stop at that law, right? Because usually it's like people push back, maybe they go a little bit back. They actually expanded on it and they said, never mind just for children. Like, now there's no advertising for LGBT for adults either, period. So if you sell LaCroix or whatever in Russia or the Russian equivalent of this, and you wanted to have an ad of two gay men with this, right? Yeah. The company gets fined. And then if it doesn't get fined, it just keeps adding up. So take a lot of strict measures against the disruption of the family unit, things that are anti-Christian, they're Orthodox Christian. Actually, Putin's a huge Orthodox Christian, practicing Christian himself. So that is why these countries have to take such extreme measures, because look at where we are, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, first of all, the freedom of speech that we even have in this country was never intended to protect what they are calling speech today.
We talked about it in the way here. It's so funny you say that. We were talking
about it. The founding fathers absolutely were opposed to obscenity.
They never thought we were going
to
get here.
We had blasphemy laws for years and years and years and years, and it was always understood. Like, it was freedom of speech was always about political speech and your ability. Like, for example, we were just talking about, you know, you can get banned for saying a lot of things
that we can't say
to keep us on YouTube, but which it's insane. Like literally it makes it harder to think because you suddenly have to work your way around all of these verboten topics. And they're actually the things that most need to be said. And so freedom of speech never was intended to protect this kind of degeneracy in the Sam Smith video. We would be absolutely 100% in the right if we just said, hey, you know what? You're not allowed to air anything like that on public airwaves in the United States, period. It wouldn't be violation of – okay, you have freedom of speech – and you can also have something called standards.
Right.
And you will always have standards. We have standards right now where, you know, we can't say what should happen to abortion doctors in a judicial court of law. We can't say what ought to happen to child molest. Like, there's all these things that we cannot say because we have speech standards. And among those speech standards should be, like, we're not going to have obscenity in the public sphere. We're not going to have pornography in the public sphere. I mean, we should just outlaw pornography entirely.
Right.
But we don't. Because conservatives aren't willing to put forth a positive vision for the future.
They want just capitalism. They want capitalism.
Well, yeah, and not real. Yeah, that's the establishment. We have been so suckered in to this establishment libertarian nonsense.
Yeah.
It's been a... Shaney's here. Just come on in.
Shaney's here.
Just walk in front of the camera.
Shaney's here.
The chat loves to see you guys.
Hi. What's up, brother? Hi, Shaney.
We were just talking about how we how need to have you? Standards of speech in this country.
Yeah. we talked about earlier with freedom of speech. Before we go on, Shaney, you want to say hello to our...
Take a minute to introduce yourselves.
How you guys doing?
Wait, hold on. Is the camera on him? Yeah, right? 1 second. Sorry, guys. We got a Zoomer in the house. You know? Finally, after 27 minutes, Annabella said, share the podcast and channel, y'all. I love you guys. You guys are the best. Are we good?
Yep.
All right, Shaney, go ahead and introduce yourself.
How you guys doing? I'm Shane, Shaney Rich on Instagram and nice. TikTok and socials. But, yeah, I do street interviews and just go to people, ask them random questions. I did a bunch of videos with Lyft.
Yeah,
I think we got, like, our best video did 10 mil on YouTube, 200,000 likes. So.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Secret weapon, baby.
Let's go. So we were just talking about, we actually just started 21 minutes ago. We were discussing the Sam Smith video. I don't know if you've seen it. He's like wearing tassels, doing all this like weird gender bending, transvestite, transgender, drag queen sort of stuff. And then we were getting into how Russia, China have to take extreme measures against this type of stuff. Like, yeah, we like freedom of speech. We definitely don't want to persecute people for living an alternative lifestyle, but it's also gotten under control. And he, you know, you talked about blasphemy laws, and it's interesting because, you know, Florida is allegedly the freest state in the country, and Republicans here are being praised as, you know, patriots and freedom fighters. And just last week, two Florida legislators, they want to make it a felony to pass out anti-Semitic flyers. So there's been a couple incidents throughout the country where there's been a group of gentlemen, I don't know their names right now, but they have passed out some inflammatory.
These are Republicans trying to make this happen?
Mm-hmm. In Florida.
Is pornography still illegal in Florida?
Right.
No. GOP, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Yo, you can't.
Yeah. So, obviously,
the problem.
You know, obviously, we have laws and protections against minorities already. You know?
Wait, so just so I'm clear, you can have pornography in Florida. But you can't point out that the pornography was made by a Jew.
No.
Is that what the law will
no,
be?
No, that's not. Well, yes, actually. If you pass out a flyer, you're going to be it's going to be a felony.
That's going to be a felony.
It's going to be a felony.
Oh,
so,
my God.
So, you know.
That's crazy.
We have laws already, in protective laws for minorities, right? So if you destroy a church, a synagogue, things like that, you're going to be persecuted for a hate crime. So these things are already in place. What these lawmakers want to do is basically ban speech, right? So if you are going to do that for one demographic or one religion or one race or whatever you want to be, you're going to have to do that for everyone else. Obviously, this is going to be challenged. It's not going to pass, I don't think. But also, in the event that it did, it will be challenged up to the Florida.
It's even being presented, like, where have we gotten to as a society where, like, hurt feelings need to be persecuted?
Yeah. It's a very dangerous zone.
With the law.
Like, is there some sort of like anti-Semitic like?
What do you think, Shaney? So Shaney, no, you're Jewish, right?
Yeah.
So what do you think? Do you feel persecuted in Florida as a Jew?
Nah.
I'm really just chilling.
My thoughts on that whole situation is like, yo, you can have your own opinion.
Right.
I don't really care. You know, right. Have your own opinion. Do whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And we agree to disagree.
Right.
What I hate cancel culture, you know, like as someone who's been banned. So it's like.
He's been banned everywhere.
Yeah, I've been banned.
So they also don't like Jewish young. They discriminate.
Men are also being
This is actually anti-Semitic. It's that they wouldn't let you TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, anti-Semitism.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
I just think that people are so sensitive about not being like these.
I'm going to post this on my Instagram.
To me, free speech is being able to tell people I don't like you and people just having to be okay with that. And I feel like everybody's so like hypersensitive to just, I want everyone to like me. I want everyone to be accepting of my lifestyle. I want everyone to praise what it is that I'm doing. Where then the slightest bit of opposition where somebody's like, well, I think you're lame or I think you're whack or I don't get down with that. Then it's like, well, that's hate speech.
Yeah.
So now everything that like counters whatever delusion you want to live in is hate speech. So
I just don't
believe you're a Christian.
Yeah. I just don't believe in like cancel culture or any of that. Yeah. And like Kanye getting deplatformed too. It's like, you can have your own opinions about what he said and talk about that, but it's like everyone should have their own voice and be able to voice how they feel, you know? And I'm Jewish. I don't see a problem with you having your own opinions about, just like how I have opinions on certain things too, you know? Everyone has their own opinions.
Yeah. But you probably would draw the line. I mean, there are lines drawn around like incitement to violence.
Obviously.
Very specific,
I wouldn't want that on my platform. Yeah, I would, if you were going to, and we can't say it, but if you were going to say like, kill X, Y, race, religion, and stuff. Would you want that on your platform? No, even for you, advertisers are not going to want to join other people. It's definitely like, you know, the way somebody described it is we should be going by the law, right? So the same way that
they can change the law. Like that's why I asked, like to me, the problem with what happened to Kanye wasn't so much, because he wasn't inciting anyone to violence. Mm. But the question that we never got to talk about was like, is anything that he's saying true? Because you just can't have the conversation, right? And it's like, well, if you can't ask what is true, and this is the problem with the transgender issue. This is the problem with, pretty much any, like the leftist entire project is about dismantling the concept of truth and objective reality so that you can just make anything happen. But with Kanye, I mean, just is it true? And you can't even have that conversation, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and he also, like, he makes pretty good music, too, you know?
Well, bringing us back to Sam Smith.
Bringing us back to Sam Smith. One second.
Kanye West is a genius. He is not. Sam Smith is not at that level.
But that's my point, is that I am probably still going to listen to
his
audience.
Yeah, he's like a queer
banner.
That's
what we were talking about. Yeah, so at first he was just a gay man, but that didn't make him oppressed enough. So now he's identified.
Guys, so really quickly, we want to give a shout out to our sponsor, Century H2O Water. We told you guys about Century filter water last week. And we are extremely excited to have him on board. I also made a reel today that you guys can see. So Century is a Patriot-owned company from Arizona. It's a 5-step under the sink water system. It filters out arsenic, all the toxins that you
fluoride.
Fluoride,
lizard people put in there to mess with your brain.
Yeah, but what's really interesting about Century is that unlike the reverse osmosis systems that a lot of people like to buy and they're extremely expensive, this actually enriches your water. So you actually get calcium, magnesium back into your water from that 5-stage system. Extremely affordable, $279.99. And then with our code, MPL10, you get 10% off. So
check out Century. Incredibly affordable compared to some of the competitors out there that are several thousand dollars. So we're loving it so far, and we're so proud to have them as a sponsor. So thank you Century, for believing in MPL and our fiery but mostly peaceful dream.
Code MPL10, 10% off.
Thank you.
Man, you guys are good at this.
Harley. We're trying our best to bring the truth and fun to people because we are in a very chaotic world. So guys, we have, you know, we've been trying to avoid this topic for a very long time.
I did a terrible job the week before last.
We're going to have to control Bella for a second.
Don't follow me on your social.
She doesn't want to have peace. I'm kidding. I was fighting all morning today on Twitter. We're going to address the big elephant in the room, which is not Kanye West this time, but the fight between Governor DeSantis and Trump. And a lot of you may say, well, it's just Trump fighting on his own. It's Trump attacking Governor DeSantis. Governor DeSantis is not doing anything. He's doing a great job in Florida. And that is actually not true at all. And it's something that we have been kind of just, we've been very like surface with the topic.
And here's the thing. We want to be sensitive with the topic. Again, don't follow me on Truth Social, but we do want to be sensitive with the topic because here's the governor is a good governor. And the governor, particularly in the activism that me and Linda have been involved in over the last 2 years, there has been a significant help that has been offered by the governor. And to not recognize that would be unfair of the work that he has done here in Florida. So we do want to be careful because we like the governor. We think he's a good governor. And we want him to remain governor of Florida for 4 years like we elected him to do. So when we help get you elected to serve 4 years and we start hearing rumors that we might get just 2 out of you, particularly when you take into account the political climate that we're in right now, it's extremely alarming. And then you start looking at some of the other things like who's funding this, where's the money coming from, how it's the strategy that's going on. And then that makes you even more uncomfortable. So, yes.
Who is funding it? Who is funding Ron DeSantis? Can anyone tell us who's funding Ron DeSantis?
Funny you'd ask, yeah. Justice.
You know, how do I say this? We, as a team, right, we helped Ron DeSantis and his team in what we could. I'm sure a lot of people did. Obviously, a lot of money.
You would be helping him if you stopped him from running in the primaries. We would all be helping him.
Because here's the thing is, like, we know based on the Republican voters that it's a Republican primary. Trump's going to win the primary. Yeah. Like, DeSantis is going to lose the primary. And so if DeSantis tries to run for president, he forfeits that 2 years, whether he wins presidency or not.
And if the party is unified.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, unless they can convince him that Trump he could win the party.
Yeah.
If he really thinks that he could win the primary vote, which I believe is what's happening right now, because they're already offering him. The globalist donors are there. The mainstream media is on board. Mm-hmm. Big tech.
Are we not
is
allowed to name
board.
Them? The donors?
Oh, yeah, you're allowed to name
Citadel,
them.
Yeah. Ken Griffey. Citadel, Ken Griffey. Same guy that funds Crenshaw. Mm-hmm. Red flag extraordinaire. Like, of you want red flag laws? Get your Ken Griffey funded candidates.
No, you don't even have to go that far. You want red flag laws? Just move to Florida. We have them here in the free state of Florida.
Yeah. So.
It's a crime.
Can you put up, this is, okay, let's go back because we got distracted.
Oh, we can
let's
get more.
Start, let's start from the beginning. In 2 different occasions after the 2020 elections, the 2022 elections, Trump has attacked DeSantis. Now, people like ourselves who you would consider to be operatives, you be researchers, we're not just content creators. We do a lot more than that. We do a lot of stuff that we actually don't tell the public at all of what we do behind the scenes, right? Whether people want to believe it or not,
more than irrelevant. Half of the work that we do.
It's irrelevant. It's irrelevant to us, whether people want to believe it or not. But you guys saw we had a Roger Stone episode. Let's start with that. We had a Roger Stone episode, which is only available on Rumble because obvious reasons they hate Roger Stone, and they would take that on our channel. That episode was filmed about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks before the election.
We
purposely did not put out that episode of Roger Stone because we didn't want to hurt the governor's race because Roger Stone does not like DeSantis and he had a lot of strong things to say about DeSantis. So even then, we were still trying
Roger Stone supported Governor DeSantis.
Correct, yeah. Correct. But as president, he does it. So even then, we were trying to hold back from trying to perhaps hurt his race or, you know, speak bad about DeSantis, doing that. He's very popular. He does a really good job. So we're not, like, shitting on the governor. I just want you guys to know that. We were literally trying to protect him. However, we also come to find out that the governor is running a shadow campaign for president and has been doing it this whole time, even when he was running for governor. Do you know how disappointing that is to find out? That is disappointed, but it's also, like, disgusting. Like, you have been fooling all of us.
Well,
right?
It feels like a betrayal, right? Because part of the reason why you support our heavy support of Ron DeSantis was how closely he matched Trump's America First agenda. Mm-hmm. And you support DeSantis because of Donald Trump. And loyalty is extremely important to me. So when I'm seeing that there's this, you know, there's never been a comment about 2020 and what happened in November. Ron DeSantis has never addressed that.
Yeah.
He hasn't had nice things to say about, you know, J6 defendants and gulags. Yeah. He hasn't never really made a comment in any kind of support to Donald Trump when the raid at Mar-a-Lago happened. So you start looking at all of these different things that had occurred, and then you start asking yourself, it's like, wait a minute. When he was running for governor in 2018, like, he was putting out videos building the wall and positioning himself as, like, quite literally an alternate right. Trump, if you will, for governor. Right. And now you look at the last 2 years and he's completely tried to disconnect himself from Trump. Mm-hmm. And it's happened so subtly.
Yeah.
And we haven't noticed, because since he still remained connected to MAGA, then nobody realized that he really wasn't. He didn't have Trump's back over the last
two years. And I'll be honest with you, immediately after the 2020 election, we did have followers that did not like Ron DeSantis, and we just couldn't understand why. I had people that were extremely critical of him, saying he didn't want to clean the voter rolls. Didn't want to look into the 2020 election, and I was like, why would you guys care? Like, Florida is free and safe. And they're like, no, you don't understand. Like, you know, they cheat elections too. And it kind of happened. It, you know, we thought about that with Miami-Dade. Miami-Dade got, we flipped in 2020, we flipped two congressional seats from blue to red, right? We gained 100,000 more voters, Republican voters, aka Trump supporters. And even then, we lost the mayor's race to a Democrat who kneeled for BLM.
That won through mail-in votes.
And yeah. that was never cleared up, and nobody ever did anything about it. Yeah. There was no lawsuits for Miami-Dade. We just accepted the results and moved on.
Yeah, I don't think people realize how serious the election situation is. Have you guys followed Seth Cashel at all?
Yeah.
Had Captain Seth Cashel on my show a few weeks ago. And he finally walked me through, like, his methodology and mm-hmm. the way that
Seth Cashel's doing all of the research into the election integrity, yep. like how far spread it was,
yep.
even in the states where people aren't paying attention. Yep. So even in Florida, right. he's found some anomalies.
Yeah, he's doing a county by county mm-hmm. statistical analysis. And for me, what I got out of it, the conclusion that I drew mm-hmm. is that this has been a long process mm-hmm. where they have totally captured the blue states. I mean, blue states do not have anything even approaching fair elections mm-hmm. or free elections. Mm-hmm. They are just not legitimate elections. If you live in a blue state, you do not live in a democratic state, okay? You live in basically an oligarchy run by the Democratic mm-hmm. Party. They are now doing that in the states that are red. Georgia's a red state. Arizona's mm-hmm. a red state. Pennsylvania's a red state. Michigan's a red state. They are doing the same process that they've used to completely capture blue states like Maryland, where I live, where, you know, 1.something million voters, 250,000 completely unaccountable votes. It's insanity.
Oh, we can't talk about election. F-R-A-U-D. Oh, no.
Oh.
Integrity.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we can leave it at that. Yeah, we'll go. But if we do go on to, Shani, tell us a little bit your take, right? Because I always use your videos to kind of share where we're at culturally. You're out on the streets talking to people every single day, yeah. and you're asking them really basic questions. So when you're asking the questions, do you ask the question DeSantis or Trump?
What has
been the response that you've seen coming through predominantly from people?
It's just always Trump. In Florida, one guy was like, I don't even know who DeSantis is.
We had the same response.
Yeah. He was like, Trump for life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the same response.
Well, because you know what it is? It's the same media frenzy that took place during the 2016 elections with Hillary Clinton, where they really wanted to convince people that there was no shot in hell that Donald Trump was going to win.
Right.
And every single poll showed Hillary winning. Every single foresight, idea, prediction, it always showed Hillary Clinton winning.
Yeah.
And it was almost programming that. And I feel like they might be doing that to some degree with DeSantis. And it does worry me. I talk about this with Linda all the time. Like, the degree of the psyop worries me. Because convincing people that there's a left side and a right side and there's good guys and bad guys based off this truly different two-party system, that part was easy. But how do you convince people that within our own party,
yeah.
there's a distinction to be made between people who want this new way of life where, you know, we live on truth, where all of these nasty things that the lizard people planned out are kind of exposed, and the people who want to continue to live in this established way of politics that we've seen for such a long time. And I think that that's the bigger psyop with the DeSantis thing. Can you put up the tweet?
I was about to say that.
Yeah. Can you put up the tweet from Trump? So in this tweet from Donald Trump, which the media is covering it all over, and that's left-wing media and right-wing mainstream media alike, with a lot of critique towards Trump. So Trump writes, "Thank you. The real Ron is a rhino globalist who closed quickly down Florida and even its beaches, loved the vaccine, and wasted big money on testing. How quickly people forget."
Well, yeah, I mean, Florida was closed for the first 2-3 months of COVID.
Right.
It was open after that. It was open before every other state was open, but it was still shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, people want to pretend like there was no lockdowns here, which is what some people say.
Right. That's, there was, that's in the literally, first, yeah.
When I moved from L.A., there were still some lockdowns. Right.
Linda sued the city.
I remember going to Miami-Dade. Yeah. I remember going to Miami-Dade and them telling me I had to put a mask on.
In
2020.
That's why Linda literally, even in 2021,
there were still mask mandates.
There were still mask mandates, which is something that a lot of people don't know.
People don't understand that.
They'll say Ron DeSantis lifted mandates and he made Florida free in 2020. Well, that's not exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Ron DeSantis began signing a month-to-month emergency order he did give the power to the counties, but he gave draconian power to the counties by having this emergency order in place. Mm. So, yeah, I handed it off to the counties, but now the counties were able to impose fines for breathing fresh air. You couldn't walk on the beaches. You couldn't keep your business open. If you had people in without masks, they could fine you and close you down.
You know what? I remember going to Key West in like October of 2020, and they were trying to make you wear masks outside. Yeah, it was outside.
I was in Miami in 2021 in like April filming, and I was told to put a mask on in some buildings.
Yeah, restaurants, I don't think the older generation realizes exactly how much they've destroyed their credibility.
Well, it's just people forget. Yeah. Like, people's memories are so short term nowadays with all the
people's memories are short term, maybe, you know, people just forget, you know.
Really quickly, I just want to give a shout out to our super chats. Patriot Bro, $50, listening from cold and snowy Minnesota, -12 Fahrenheit here. Ooh. But you guys always bring the heat. Hi, Justice, love the Christian and faith topics, so key to our lives. Need to take stance here too, more important now than ever. Thank you so much. And also, Stacy Velarde, she always comes by. Thank you so much. Thank you for helping get my mind right as I drive to California to visit my mind. Veronica said something that I agree with, which is that the average conservative American is for Trump. And then we see DeSantis support more from social media influencers, in my opinion. Yeah, so let's discuss what happened to me today, right? So Bella and I, being the schizophrenics and researchers that we are, we have been noticing that since the 2020 election, there's been a lot of pro-Trump accounts that are brand new on Twitter, right? You look at the dates, some of them are older, but they're still very small accounts that could have been purchased off. They're all pro-DeSantis. These accounts were not there before. They weren't there before because I've been following the real, like, regular influencers that do like DeSantis. These are just literally bot accounts or accounts that don't have a face or have an AI picture. You don't know who these people are. And then the accounts are like, you know, open in October 2022, open in November 2022, open in January. So within the last year. And what we have noticed is that they're extremely hostile towards the Trump supporters. They're not trying to say, hey, listen, I would prefer DeSantis for X, Y, and Z reason. It's literally attack, Trump sucks, move on, this, and that. It's like, it's very hostile. They're also talking about it's an attack towards the supporters.
Right.
So now we went from the left, right? So in 2016, we had the left come out and say that, you know, the fascism was going to come with Trump. We're fascist, Nazis, second coming of Hitler, all the dehumanizing things that the Trump called Trump supporters, hence the silent majority. He wins. 2020 gets worse, but people get louder, stronger. Happens January 6th. The guy's gone from the White House. Now you have the party, you have our party, our people who we all thought were united. It's now the attacks are your cultists, right? I've been called this week a bunch of times. You're a dick writer. You're a mead writer. Like all these nasty names and name calling, which is in turn making people like myself and others who will support Trump and still like the governor say, okay, how about fuck you? How about if Trump is not the president if Trump is not the candidate in 2024, I'm going to watch you lose. I'm going to make sure that you fucking cry yourself to sleep. And I would literally write Harambe on the paper. I would literally write Harambe on the paper just to make sure, oh, we're tired of losing. We're tired of losing. I will watch you fucking lose and laugh about it.
We were going to stop cursing. So
I will watch you lose. That's where I'm at, right? Because at first I was like, you know what? If that's going to be, who cares? I'll vote for the government. But now you piss me off by calling me a cultist, a meat writer, a dick writer, and everything else that you called me. And I would literally watch the Republican Party burn. And I'll laugh about it. I'll pay the $10 for a thing of eggs until literally like 2032, if that's the case. How about that?
Yeah, I don't think it's the older generation in the party, and they just haven't yet grasped that the walking papers are getting signed. Like, it is time.
It's
like
time.
Trump
to move,
is
right.
Trump 2024, and then we're moving on. We're moving on past these baby boomer politics. We're moving on past, oh, we're not going to cut Social Security or Medicare so that grandma. No. It's like, it's over. We can't have this anymore. Like, we need a vision for the future that actually works, involves, I mean, Trump said it. He said, we're going to make America great again. We're going to build a wall. We're going to make federal buildings beautiful again. We're going to make it great again. We're not just going to slowly decline into like a tributary state of China, Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. Like, I don't know. Sorry.
What's your take on, so, you know, it's interesting because one of the arguments that they continue to make, and I say they, which is just the ramblings on Twitter, on Twitter sphere. One of the arguments that they consistently make is that it's time to move on from Trump because he cannot attract the moderate vote. He can attract Democrats. He can attract moderates.
Yeah.
Have you always been a Republican?
He's so young.
Well, I mean, you're so young.
Well,
which is, how old are you, Shani?
I'm 18.
All right. Holy shit.
But no, it's actually pretty crazy because I grew up in LA. So, like, I grew up in, like, the most liberal city in Santa Monica. And I remember 2016 came around and my dad was supporting Trump and my mom was, she's on the left, so she was supporting Hillary.
Oh.
And I grew up like with a liberal mom and a Republican dad, so I got to see both sides play out. And I was in Santa Monica where everyone is liberal, you know, everyone is like that. And I supported Trump in 2016, and I was in like sixth grade, but I was just like, fuck it, like I like this guy. Like he just says what's on his mind.
Like, what did you like about him at that? Like, what was it that, because at that age, you're so over-consumed with the things that are like cool, right? Yeah. Like you're worried about like your Jordans and the new iPhone or whatever it is. Yeah. So what was it about Trump that made him, what would make a sixth grader want to even care about politics?
Because I liked controversy, and I liked that everybody else was supporting like Hillary, and I wanted to just be like that one person. So I wrote Trump on my arms, and then they sent me to the principal, and they made
Oh my God, no, stop.
Yeah, I swear to God, true story. Yeah, and then after that, I went to some boarding school in Utah, and 2020 came around.
Everyone in Utah is super based.
Everyone in Utah is based, but 2020 came around, and it was the BLM, the George Floyd, all that whole
Even
thing.
Even in Utah.
It was everywhere. Yeah, they made us bunch of shit. And then my dad picked me up and like went to a hotel with him for like 2-3 days and just like told me everything about what was actually going on. Then from that point, like every day at the boarding school, I'd go on my computer and just research the news. And I'd look at both sides.
You got red-pilled by your dad?
Yeah.
Damn,
based
on. I'm red-pilling my dad.
Based on.
Are you red-pilling your dad?
Every day.
Yeah. My mom is pretty red-pilled.
My parents are.
Sometimes I have to reel her back.
My dad's lit as fuck. He used to do like events with Donald Trump back in like 2012.
No way.
Oh, damn. Yeah. All right. Damn.
He's a seminar speaker. So
Nice. That's awesome.
So. And I just noticed that, like, a lot of liberals are based on, like, emotion and they have a victim mindset.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Republicans is more common sense, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But at the same time, like, I don't like traditional Republicans like most of the people in that.
No, but that's the point that I was going to. And that's, why I ask you that question.
Yeah. The reckoning is coming.
I'm a former Democrat.
Right.
Linda's a former Democrat. Yeah. Like, Trump attracted us to the party. I didn't join the Republican Party because Mitch McConnell was so based. Like, that wasn't what attracted me to the Republican Party. It was Trump that generates the interest for us to join, to have this, like, shift
to have this shift in our politics. Yeah. It's Trump that does that. So when I hear leftists on Twitter tell us that Trump can get the moderate vote, that Trump can turn Democrats, who the hell are you talking about? Most 9 times out of 10, the people saying that are lifelong people that have voted Republican. You have no idea what it would take to attract a moderate voter because you voted conservative your entire life.
I mean, I go on the street and I ask, like, a lot of people are like, whoa, everyone in your video supports Trump and they think it's fake. It's like, no, like these people.
No,
are,
this is real.
These people are actually out here just like, fuck Biden. Like, yeah. I love Trump. Like, bring him back. Like, but they didn't think that way in 2020. Like, that's the thing is. I can't say it on YouTube, but like they didn't think that way in 2020, you know.
But there's people also here's but now the they thing.
Wake up, you know, a lot of people.
There's a few people that are around my life. Let's say like my nail lady. Not everybody knows that I'm a micro celebrity on the internet. By the way, some people just think I'm another normal person. But anyways, example, my nail lady, right? Like you have to think of like your average voter that it's not online on Twitter, on Truth Social, on Instagram, on YouTube, right? There's people that literally maybe use their Facebook to like post pictures with their friends, right? To catch up with their family members in Cuba or whatever it may be. And so when you talk to these people, you realize how like none of this stuff that's going on online, whether it's the vaccine discourse right now, whether Trump lockdown, whether he did in DeSantis, none of that matters to them because the average person is concerned that their life was better under Donald Trump.
Right.
They're not like you push the vaccine or didn't or this. And I'm not saying this because when I say this online, a lot of people get mad at me and say, you're just defending Trump. And I'm like, talk to people, like do it yourself. Like go to the grocery store and talk to people that you may know in a Republican county or whatever. Go talk to, I talked to my nail lady, Republican Cuban, you know, most Cubans are Republicans. And so for her, it's like, my groceries are twice, and this is somebody that probably makes like it's low income, right? So my groceries are, you know, twice as much as they were in 2016. Now I'm paying this much money for gas. This is going on. So she also, she's an immigrant. She doesn't want more people coming here. So she's not thinking of DeSantis. She's not thinking about any of those people. She's thinking about Trump. And when I say this online, people get so upset. I'm like, just go talk to people. No one cares about this stuff. Like my family, there's so many of my family members that got the vaccine. My grandma, my aunt, my cousins. Some of them had to because they were in another country. Like my aunt in Canada, she had no choice. She had no choice, right? My family members in Colombia, they had vaccine passports. Yeah, if they wanted to go to the grocery store, they had to get the vaccine. If they wanted to travel here, they had to get the vaccine. And so they all did, and they're fine. And I'm not saying nothing's going to happen to them. But the reality is that the perception amongst the majority of the population is that this vaccine is a good thing, right? Not everybody looks at that as the mark of the beast or it's going to kill you or blah, blah, blah.
In fact, most Americans,
and even the ones that are talking about the mRNA vaccine now, most of them are okay with polio, measles, chickenpox, the majority of the population. I just talked to a friend of mine 2 days ago. She's pregnant and she tells me, and I said, be very careful with the pharma juice for children, da, 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 da. She doesn't care. You know, she's like, oh no, you know,
they truly believe we're looking at over 100 years, over 1,000 years of propaganda on how you are incapable of having a healthy society without some form of juice or another. And you don't change a 1,000 years of programming in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I have this fight all the time. Everybody's always talking about, oh, well, you know, Trump keeps pushing the shots. Trump keeps pushing the shots. He keeps pushing them. Yeah, okay. 80% of Americans took the shot. 56% of Americans line up every single year willingly and voluntarily to take the flu shot.
Yeah.
You live in a pro-shot society. You are in a minority. These echo chambers that we exist in, the Telegram channels, the Truth Socials, the Rumbles, these are echo chambers compared to the rest. Social media in itself is an echo chamber.
It's a whole other world.
And you know, Anomaly, as an example, he blocked me. Anomaly blocked me 2 years ago because I was challenging him.
He hates being challenged.
He doesn't like being challenged, right? And he's so nasty to Trump supporters. And this is someone that also got his clout. He Yeah, I think he has like rap songs that are like for Trump support, for Trump or whatever. And he just all day, every day, it's the same people. I go on Twitter, they're shitting on Trump, Trump this, Trump that. And it's like, dude, you guys don't even have any more a discourse with us, because if we don't agree, right? Because maybe you can say, I believe this is wrong that he said, and you say, okay, well, I don't believe that's wrong. I'm okay with it because of X, Y, and Z. They don't come back and say, okay, we agree to disagree. It's like, well, you're a cultist. Yeah. You know, you're a D writer. You're doing this. And it's just like, you guys are taking the same position and attacks as
the left.
What do you think?
I can't believe
what have 80%. You seen specifically? Because I know that you're on Truth Social and you're watching it within Truth Social happen.
So I'm obviously not vaccinated. The idea that 80% of Americans are vaccinated is kind of shocking and surprising to me. And I'll say this, the most moderate Republicans I know are coming around to the idea that the mRNA vaccine was a mistake, and is like, people I know who have gotten like 4 or 5 shots are like, I think I made a terrible mistake.
I mean, my take on it is like, Trump made it because A, he was pressured, and B, he wanted to win the election. Like, he probably thought in his head that it would help him win re-election.
Well, I just don't think that anybody would be able – I don't think anybody would be able to get away with not producing a vaccine.
In fact, he would have been
tried. I think he would have been tried for, like, a human rights violation.
I think they would have charged him with – exactly is.
Well, think about it. I mean, Fauci was pretty much controlling that whole
thing. I think that if he would have pushed for anti-vaccine, that they would have tried to genocide. I think that they would have tried charging him with genocide.
Yeah. But can I ask you, is the argument that because he is supportive of the vaccine that he won't have enough support among the Republican base to win the general election? Is that the argument?
I mean, like I said –
That's the Twitter argument.
Okay.
The pundits.
So
hold on.
It doesn't even warrant discussion because it's so stupid. Like, that is ridiculously dumb. If we act like the Republican Party, if Trump is the primary nominee, which he will be, they will absolutely rally around him in the generals. The only question is, are we unified like from now through the generals, or do we have to deal with this division because of DeSantis and Nikki Haley or whatever other like sacrificial lambs the establishment wants to
throw
into the fire? Yeah, like Nikki Haley, you don't have a chance in hell. Give it up.
Well, you should have seen Twitter yesterday. So you have, you know, we forget that, especially for people like us that didn't vote for Republicans before Trump, we forget how many cringe rhinos there is in the party. How many want to go back to the old party and be the McCains and the Reagans, and they talk so well and nobody cursed and nobody poked and they had the quorum and all this stuff. Yeah. That doesn't exist anymore. And actually, Jesse Kelly said it, because Jesse Kelly was like, I want to see this man go at it, right? Trump and DeSantis, the best man wins, blah, 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 blah. And so Jesse, today he replied back to a follower, because a follower was like, I don't think we need to attack each other. Like, I don't want that. We can reel the party back and have decorum and, you know, be polite and this and that. And Jesse Kelly replies back to the guy, and he's like, that's never going to happen. Like, this is the problem. Like, you guys think that politics shouldn't be dirty. Politics is so dirty.
Politics is so dirty.
So dirty.
One of the my family escaped communism. So that's my background. I come from a third generation of commie fighters. And before I do that, I want to give a shout out to Matt Fondren, who didn't want the attention for his super chat. But we really appreciate you coming through for us. He says, for the record, I wish this wasn't highlighted. Just wanted to support the Mostly Peaceful Latinas. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
My family escaped communism. And on January 21st, 2021, which on January, the day after the installation of the occupation, my dad called me and he was really concerned about my social media page. He's like, I'm concerned. Like, it's getting real now. This guy was just inaugurated. I want you to maybe think about having a bipartisan platform where you don't. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. He's like, all right. He's like, if you're going to stay in this game, there's one thing that you need to know. And that's that Communists will never play fair. Mm-hmm. Communists mm-hmm. have no morals.
Right.
Communists don't have a moral code that stops them from doing something unethical.
Yeah.
So when you step into this fight with your code of ethics, you're at a disadvantage because there are things that they are always going mm-hmm. to be willing to do that you'll feel good people don't do this. Yeah. And you cannot go into this fight like that. Yeah. He made it was almost like a sound of survival. My dad stayed an orphan when he was 6 years old. His father was assassinated for being a militia fighter, an anti-communist militia fighter. My grandmother spent 9 years in political and as a political prisoner for being anti-communist. So he does speak from a voice of reason. And that was the first thing that my father told me after Joe Biden's inauguration was, you cannot go into this with a higher moral code than
moral.
Communists because
There's
they have none, well, and you're at a disadvantage from the moment that you step in.
I mean, if you don't mind me pushing back on this, because I actually think that the moral code is the strength. I think that, and I was telling you this earlier, I really think that the unstoppable weapon, and it's actually what Trump does without even realizing, it is perfect sincerity. When you speak the truth in perfect sincerity, first of all, you can't make it up. People know it. People look at Trump and they know that he's saying what he really thinks. He can't help but say what he really thinks. And that's why, like, I forgive him for the vaccine thing. Like, I disagree completely, but I forgive him because I just understand that he can't help
but
have that position.
Wait, I disagree with his cringe push for the vaccine. I disagree. Sure. I'm just sorry to interrupt you. Sure. Where I don't disagree is that he had to create it because I don't think anyone in the world, it's not just that. Majority of the population,
he had to create it.
When he was pushing for we don't need masks, that was a problem. When he was pushing for the other alternatives, I don't think you can say hydrochloroquine, blah, 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 blah. That was a problem. When he was trying to push the alternatives, at one point, and I have a quote for him, said, we don't need the V. We don't. That was a problem. Majority of people always look forward to a vaccine. I want you guys to look at the Salk vaccine, which was a polio vaccine. People ran to that vaccine. If you think that it took years to make, you think that they went through all the trials, go see what happened with that incident. There were so many kids paralyzed after the polio vaccine. There were so many kids that died.
There were three different polio vaccines.
So, the main one is the Salk vaccine.
And even the third one, we don't really know if the third polio vaccine.
I was just saying, Trump took the vaccine. He took it.
Well, I'll tell you guys something else, and here's something that most people don't realize.
Yeah.
Never in the history of American politics has there been any politician that's ran on an anti-vax platform. Never. Well, it's never happened.
Okay, because I feel like we've beat the vaccine to death. Because I want to get back to what we talked about with the tactics, right? Because we're saying we have to be like them, and we can't. You know, we can't be like above certain tactics or certain strategies or whatever. And this is where I'm going to push back because I really do think that there's strength in the truth and strength in sincerity. I look at Martin Luther King. If you don't like Martin Luther King, fine. Look at Gandhi. Look at Jesus. Look at Nelson Mandela. There's something about when you are, especially when you're the weaker party, when you are the oppressed party, if you just go out and speak the truth and take the blows, the people see that and you're communicating in a language that's universal, that moves people emotionally. And that's the difference between us and that. Like the communists, they go and they lie and they lie and they lie and they just repeat themselves over and over again. And they manipulate people and they brainwash people. But when push comes to shove, they have no moral authority and people can recognize this in their hearts. So like my whole thing is tactically, if we actually just got convicted about what we believe and we went out there and we pursued it truthfully and sincerity, like what Trump does when he goes out and he just says, this is what I believe, this is really what I believe, and we're going to go out and pursue that, people follow him for that. There really is no other reason people like Trump. People like Trump for his authenticity and his sincerity, and that is the main
reason.
He's not
a politician.
So
that's why I fuck with him.
Let me ask you a question while we're on that topic, right? How do you feel about Christians today? And so we have this, there's always, the Bible tells us that we're going to be persecuted.
Yeah, sure.
Granted, we know it, we accept it, we know that it's something that happens. But I feel like it's also to some degree today's Christian is very complacent because they just feel like, well, we're going to be persecuted anyway. So we just sit back and we don't fight back and we don't.
You need to be persecuted for Jesus' name, right? Like this is the thing. If you're just being persecuted because you're soft and you're a fish and you're going along with a school of fish and just being hunted basically by sharks, then that is not, there's no glory in that. There's no obedience in that. You're not doing a Christian thing just by being a doormat. But if you're being persecuted for Jesus' name, then you're bearing your cross. Like, that's what it means to bear your cross. Like, I got fired from a seven figure or a very large contract that was like very important to me at the time, because I was on Twitter saying pride is a sin and God smites sinners. And that's just what the Bible says. It's what every Christian for the last 2000 years has believed. It's straight up orthodoxy. Mm-hmm. And if you don't like it, fire me. And they did. I deserve none of the credit for that. Like, that is Jesus that put it on my heart, and it's Jesus that got me through it. And here we are. But, like, as Christians, we have to actually be doing it for his name. Like, this is why row reversed.
Right.
We were talking about it earlier. Did we lose the midterms because we reverse row? I don't think so. Only in politics, only in Republican politics, do we have a massive win, and then we're like, oh, no, now we're going to lose because we had this massive win. No, winning is momentum. Winning begets more winning. So, if anything, I think that the tiny win that we had in the midterm elections was – at least in part because of Roe getting overturned. And Roe was overturned because a bunch of Christians were going out every day and speaking the truth and saying abortion is murder and we're not going to compromise. We're not like every, I remember I was at the March for Life just now and a few weeks ago. And the AG from Mississippi was coming out saying, oh, like these women are victims. These women are victims. I'm like, no, these women are murderers. They're murdering innocent children with the help of insane doctors that butcher countless babies every year. So it's like you go out and you speak the truth and you speak the truth. I want to shout out Jeff Durbin and End Abortion Now because they figured it out. They were just like, you know what? We're going to go to abortion clinics and we're going to preach the gospel to these people about to murder their children and they're going to repent. And they do. Like, I think like 40,000 babies they saved.
Well, that's probably part of the reason why they have these new laws now, because we really do believe that everything ends up being spiritual warfare.
It is all spiritual warfare at the end of the day. And we just need to embrace that. We just need to embrace that because, man, Gandhi freed a nation of a billion people without lifting a finger. It was just by speaking the truth and doing what he thought was right. And Martin Luther King, I think people have a lot of like legitimate complaints about Martin Luther King. Fine. But what you can't argue with is that his tactics worked, because his tactics was we're going to get a bunch of 15-year-old kids to sit in a racist cafe until the cops come and beat them and attack them with dogs. And guess what? Nobody sees that happening and isn't moved in their heart to do something about it.
I just want to say that Martin Luther King wasn't a conservative Latina. That's a little bit harder for us.
There's also a lot of dirty tactics and politics going on with the DeSantis team, which people don't know. First one is a shadow campaign, because we told people we were going to talk about this real quick. So the first one is a shadow campaign, which is that he has been running a campaign, a double campaign for presidency and governor since before the election. So people don't understand that before you announce to the general public that you are going to run for president, governor, senator, whatever it may be, you gather your donors. It is your donors who pretty much technically almost make that decision.
Determine if you can run.
Exactly. Determine that decision for you and who are going to fund. DeSantis is sitting on a chest, on a war chest of money. More than Trump,
$200 million.
He barely used all the funds that he gathered for the election.
He used less than 40% of his governmental of his funds that he raised for his governor campaign. Less than 40% of those funds were used, and he's now sitting on a $200 million war chest for his presidential campaign.
It's not just him directly, right? So it's not like DeSantis. There's a team. There's people involved. The First Lady of Florida is also spearheading a lot of things behind the scenes that people wouldn't even begin to understand. And he has the best communications team in the world. Hands down, they are amazing. They're an amazing, amazing team. We can't not deny that. And so what happens is that when you go on Twitter and all these accounts popped up, it happened to me today. I told Bella, I started to reel them in to see. It's kind of like a social experiment to see their interactions and stuff like that. I've never interacted with them. I have just been observing them for a couple months since the election. So today I finally went after one of the accounts and I said, let me go try to bait this guy and see how he responds, who responds back, and what happens. And so one of the tweets that I should have given it to Angel, but one of the tweets that I responded back to was that he said that he wanted Trump supporters to go away from where they had come from, right?
Yeah.
Trump supporters should go away. I'm going to read it to you guys now. From where they had come from.
He wants his party back. He wants Trump supporters
right.
to go
so
away.
He goes, so I guess somebody was responding to him saying we should have unity in the party, no matter who we want to vote for, blah, 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 blah. And so he says, unity, question mark, no. I want idiots out of the party. I want them to go back to staying home or whatever it was they did before Trump came along. We're tired of losing and we're not negotiating with fools. This is a hostile takeover, emphasis on hostile. This is a black man who has a picture with an AI. It's not a real person. This is an AI. And so I asked them, I said, I want you to clarify what you meant by this. I didn't attack him on his position. I didn't defend Trump. I didn't care to do any of that. All I said was, can you tell me as a supporter of Ron DeSantis, someone who voted for him, what you mean by this tweet? Do you want people like me who supported Trump to not vote, to stay home and go away from the party? So he kept avoiding the question. And then I said, we've never heard from you. There's no real picture. And then you're asking people to stay home and not vote and go away from wherever they came from if they support Trump. Well, he got into a really nasty argument, and then all the bots came out. So then all these accounts, and I started seeing who was responding, insulting me, telling me to shut up, all these things. Long story short, every single account that was responding back to me doesn't have a face. It's not a real person. They're brand new accounts, and every tweet by these accounts are all pro-DeSantis attacking Trump and his supporters.
And then when you send me that, so Linda sends me this. She's like, look at what I've realized. Like, I think all of these are bots or AIs. And I had been doing similar research where I was doing keyword searches on a lot of these terms that are now being used, like move on from Trump, like can't capture a moderate vote. I was doing these searches on Twitter, and what I was finding was the same bot accounts that Linda had identified were the same ones that were coming up time and time and time again on Twitter. So there, I posed this question on True Social actually yesterday, where Democrats are known to use these kinds of tactics, right? Yeah. Like bot tactics or whatnot. And I presented the question on whether or not that was a good or bad tactic for conservatives to adapt. Is it something like fight fire with fire, or the idea of like, no, we're not like them. We don't need to stoop down to that level. I wouldn't say overwhelmingly, but more than half of people did say that they thought that we should fight fire with fire.
Can I chime in on this?
Yeah, please.
Because we're actually working on something for this.
Good.
I actually responded on that poll. And I said we should fight fire with fire. I don't like the idea of just fake accounts. And again, because it's just I have a predisposition. I have a bias towards truth. But here's what I think we can do, and I think what we ought to do. There are a lot of conservatives in this movement, a lot of activist level people who want to be heard. They just don't want to be on Twitter all the time. And those people, I think a good large number, thousands, if not tens of or hundreds of thousands of them, would be glad if they could give a trusted group their Twitter account to manage on their behalf, not as a bot, but as a managed account. Like, rich people have social media managers all the time. Why can't normal people have social media managers to get their worldview out there? So I think if we approach it from that perspective and we use some of the technologies that we've been talking about
to help like amplify these messages. I was telling Linda just yesterday, it's like, I don't like, it's kind of where I posed the question, because I was sitting here, I'm like, I don't care. I don't care about this moral battle. Like, how do you fight this? How do you come into this unbalanced playing field?
Can I plug the project, actually?
Huh?
Can I plug the project?
Yeah, please.
If you're one of these people, it's really easy. But if you're one of these people who you want your voice to be heard and you want a trusted party to run your account for you, go to whitehorsesocial.com and sign up there, and you'll get some, and we'll be sending you emails over the course of the next month, because we want to create an army of real people who want to be heard on these issues and are just tired of being completely
ignored.
I mean, it, completely ignored, but it's also like the left is just swamping every social media network with these bots and these grassroots activists.
Well, they're
activists.
Doing it for DeSantis, you know, and it's really unfortunate. And by the way, I
crossed... That's a great project, by the way. Thanks.
Really good. I cross-verified every single account that was responding back to me, and the, their communications team follows those accounts back. Now, you got to understand that these accounts isn't somebody like him or me or Shaney Rich or Bala, like normal people. These are literally people whose faces are AI-generated. Why would a communications director, press secretary, whatever you want to call it, be following this type of account? It just doesn't make any sense. They're not a personality. They're not a pundit. They're not an influencer. But somehow, some way, they're all connected on this web. There was an article that the left had written mostly about the top influencers that are rooting for DeSantis. This is another portion. So there's the bots that we just told you guys about that have no face, no name. It's just we have no idea who they are. But now there's also a class of influencers. And basically, it's like Lisa Booth, Dave Rubin, everybody from the Daily Wire. Which ones were the other ones? Dave Riaboy. There's a lot of like older, maybe like Gen X people, media pundits. They go on Fox and stuff like that, who are the ones that are on Twitter driving the pro-DeSantis narrative, attacking the Trump supporters. John Cardillo is another one. He used to be a really good guy. This week, also Bill Mitchell, who used to be a huge Trump defender, also came after Trump. So it's mostly, all of this stuff is mostly being driven in the Twitter sphere. Yeah. And, you know, when people were trying to put this together, because the switch was extremely, it wasn't very organic, right? It happened right after the midterm elections. We were already seeing it before the midterm elections, but when it happened right after the midterm elections, it wasn't very organic. People were kind of tying things together, and they realized that there, all that class of influencers, the girl from Lips of TikTok, the Jamie from The Gay Who's Straight, all these people, not Jamie, but Shia, who's the girls from Lips from TikTok, all these people have been courted by the DeSantis communications team. They've gone to the governor's mansion. They're getting invited to events. And there's the same people.
They get access to the governor.
So they have been reeling in influencers. Nothing's illegal. It's all fair game. We're not shitting on their game. By the way, you can't. What is it? You can't hate the game.
You can't hate the player.
But we're just informing you guys of what we know that has
and
been
what's
going on
behind the scenes. Most the average person is probably just not tapped into. I have these fights whenever I fight with these trolls, and they're like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, DeSantis isn't running. It's like, brah, I know what I'm talking about. I'm down here in Florida.
Wait,
like,
people
I'm not
are telling
just,
you that he's not running.
Oh, like, the shills on Truth Social are
so what have you got? Because I know you posted the other day, 2024, I'm voting for Trump. What response did you get from that?
Let me pull it up. Let's see.
Like, clearly.
Because I've honestly been firing on Twitter, because Twitter is actually kind of lit.
So Dulce also sent us a super chat.
Oh,
Thank you so much.
The last two super chats are amazing, guys. Thank you so much for the commentary on that. I can't scroll up. I don't know what's wrong with my computer. Can you read the Dulce one?
It says,
one?
I respect you ladies because you walk the talk. In my opinion, to many talking heads, the conservative side just want to get rich and famous. That's very, very true. Also, Grant Wells, thank you so much. Keep fighting the good fight. You ladies are important. You show us how to fight properly. And
thank
right
you,
now, we just got another one, too, from Big Clips. Both super based. Thank you so much.
You two are based. Yeah. You two are based.
So what did you get?
What I tweet, I just said, Ron DeSantis needs to take a step back and endorse Donald Trump for 2024. Who agrees? And it got like 10,000 likes, 1,800 retweets, 213,000 views. And everyone's like, yeah, I agree. But then you see some influencers in the comments that are saying no.
I like who?
Well, they have to drive the narrative, right?
Call them out.
Let's see. It's hard to tell now.
Because everybody's verified now. So it's hard to tell who's actually an influencer.
Do you guys know 4G Auto Blow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
4G Auto Blow is my man.
Did he turn on Trump?
No, never.
Oh, I was going to say,
he just made a video questioning this. Like, yeah, he made a video. He made a whole video.
He commented, Rhino Ron.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. All right, yeah, I hear.
Forgiato, shout out Forgiato if you're watching this.
Let's go. For some reason, my mom knows.
Don't
about
we
him.
Have a picture with Forgiato from I'm the sure from JC? No, yeah, not from. It was from one was of the there, one of the yeah. rallies yeah. In DC.
Yeah, he performs there.
Yeah.
No, he lives in St. Pete.
All right.
He's in Florida. We got a lot of Patriots in Florida. That's the truth. Well, should we switch? Should we switch over to one of our other topics? Should we talk about our desgraciado?
Well, we just want to tell you guys all we know behind the scenes. That's all. And now, Bella, please do us the honors. All
right, guys. So this week's segment of
Pasa el desgraciado.
Desgraciado of the week.
I don't know what this is. We have to explain it to them.
All right. So this week. Can you bring up the image? I can't click on anything on my computer, so this is going to be hilarious. So this week, the desgraciado of the week that we will be highlighting is ABC News producer. What was his name, Linda? I had my notes, but I can't click on anything here on my computer right now. But an ABC News producer was actually caught with massive amounts of child pornography and also trying to sell said pornography and exchange said pornography. So can you pull up the story a second, Linda?
Yeah, but I don't understand why my computer also...
Is your computer also acting weird?
Where is it?
I mean, first of all, can we just say, is this surprising to anybody? Like ABC producer?
No, it's not. So you know what's interesting? It is ABC. Okay. Back in 20, this was already quite some time ago.
It's an ex-ABC news producer arrested on child pornography cases. So his name is James Gordon Meek, who lives in Arlington, Virginia, had several devices seized by the FBI last April and the Department of Justice. And so according to the court documents, it contained images of children engaged in sexually explicit conduct. And I guess it was like conversations about him expressing his enthusiasm for having sex with children. And it's just
to this point where he's like, is anybody surprised? I'm actually not. Back, I want to say it was back in 2021. ABC actually changed regulations where they didn't want to use the word pedophiles anymore because it could be offensive.
They want to use MAP.
Yeah, they didn't want to use the word pedophile. So I want to use a wood chipper. Yeah, well, I mean, doesn't every rational person? They might call you an extremist for that, mm-hmm. Justice.
Yeah.
No, but like, let me just put it this way. When you work at ABC for a long enough time to become a producer, you're like a part of the swamp. Like you are like a creature of the night. And the fact that you'd be like probably every producer at ABC right now is on that stroke or whatever. Yeah. This is sort of related because that Jacob Wohl tape of he got with Schumer's press secretary.
Oh,
When did that happen?
It just happened, and no one's talking about it. He's getting no traction. I don't know if
it's like, because he's been banned everywhere.
Well, it's on Rumble.
He actually got banned from Twitter a couple years ago when Jack was still the CEO. So Jacob Wohl was like a Republican. What do you call it? Operative. He used to be part of like the LE crew and all those people, and Laura Loomer and whatnot. And he got caught, I think, operating bot accounts, something like that.
He's not a good guy. Like
he's not a good
this
guy.
This is not about not a, him being right. a good dude. But he did basically a To Catch a Predator on this guy. It's all on tape. He's Schumer's ex press secretary who shows up to like a 16-year-old boy's house. And is like drinking wine with him.
Shocking.
And yeah, it's all on tape, and the whole thing's on Rumble, and it's only got like 1,000 views. I'm like, bro, did Schumer's press secretary really get caught like trying to solicit a minor?
Bro, I didn't even know that happened. If not, we would have absolutely talked about that.
No one's talking about it, and that's why I'm so like this is like unsurprising to me. Like the ABC thing is totally unsurprising. I feel like I bet if you raided every ABC producer's house right now, you would get like a good. Plurality of them.
Isn't that Disney as well? Doesn't ABC fall under the Disney company?
Yeah. Yeah.
But these people are degenerate. I mean,
there was a TikTok trend going on and probably still going on right now, but for sure it was last week and it was about mascara. So there's a mascara called Better Than Sex by Too Faced. That's the name of the mascara. And so because TikTok's algorithm is so strict and you can't really talk about like pornography, child pornography, all that stuff. Basically, there was all these girls that were coming out and talking about their experiences when they were little and got raped, mostly all by family members. And so instead of saying the first time I had sex, they would say the first time I tried mascara. Get it? Because of the better than sex. So it was like, The first time I tried mascara was from 3 to 12 years old, and it was my stepdad, and my mom knew, like, the craziest stories, like, and then what was crazier is that then you go look at the comments, and it's like so many people, so many, especially girls, were molested when they were young, right? So I'm just thinking to myself, like, there's a lot of pedophiles.
There is a lot of pedophiles, and it's not like the top dogs.
I'm not talking about, like,
well, you know what? There's a lot of cultures. There's a lot of, well, number one, statistically, it tends to always happen from somebody within the family or somebody that's a family friend that you would know. And I think that there's still a lot of cultures where it's just very taboo to talk about. And though, you know, it's like a lot of families have a creepy uncle. I don't have a creepy uncle. I have a very small family, so please. But no, but a lot of families will say, like, oh, I had a creepy uncle. And I wasn't allowed to, like, play with him alone, or I wasn't allowed to do this with him or whatever. Oh my gosh. And I think that it's one of those things where it's just, even, like, culturally, it's just very taboo to talk about. And
makes it weird for normal uncles, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, how do you babysit your nieces?
You got to be, like, hyper aware of society. And it's, like, even, you know, my goddaughter is, like, very known. Like, if you don't want to hug somebody, you don't have to hug them. Yeah. If, you know, you don't sit on anybody's lap. You don't have to hug people you don't want to hug, even if they are your family.
My brother was just teaching his daughter this because she was at a birthday party where, I guess, a boy had a crush on her. And all the other kids were, like, making fun of them. Like, you know, and she was like, I want to go. And he was like, that's, if you want to go, you need to, like, speak up and get out of there. And she's like a little girl, you know, so. I don't even know, 6 years old, probably.
We are getting to the end of our show, but
I want to cover the last topic, because I want Shani's opinion on this. I want to talk about it, which is the Mr. Beast fiasco that's going on right now. So for those of you that are unaware, Mr. Beast is an actual famous YouTuber. I don't even know how many his millions of followers.
He's the biggest. Over 100 million.
Over 100 million.
Over 100 million subscribers. Over 100 million subscribers.
Huge YouTuber. And, like, he does the good deed videos. So I'm sure you guys have seen them up on your algorithm. Go to a grocery store and, like, ask somebody for a favor, hand them $100. That kind of storyline. So in one of his most recent videos, he, I believe it was out of Brazil, he went in and he healed 1,000 blind people. So he took his money and he brought in, doctors or whatnot, and he was able to provide medical care for 1,000 different blind people. And it was this great emotional video, all these people getting their sight back, and he had gifts for them. And, you know, they opened up their eyes for the first time, and one guy had, like, a $50,000 check for his tuition, and another guy had a car, and all of these, like, really emotional things. But now it's gotten to the Twitter sphere, and the backlash has been, well, if he's going to do nice things for people, then why does he need to post about it on social media? Which then opens up the conversation. When this kind of content is created, is this true feel-good, good content for the consumer, or is it just an ego boost for the content creator?
No, what it is it's just that's his style of content. There's just some content creators who just give stuff away. And what it does is, let's say he makes $100,000 on a video, he'll then give away $75,000 in the next video and then just keep building on that. So I don't see any problem with it at all. It's kind of like what Steve Will Do It did. You know,
I don't think that there's anything wrong with it either, but I think that it does say a lot, you know, as a social media personality and having a following. I'm not sure if it's different for you. Linda and I talk about it often. There's nothing that you can do that's right. Everything that you do is wrong. There's always a reason to criticize you. There's always a reason to call you a shill, a grifter. You're doing it for the wrong reasons or whatever it is. So how do you feel about that kind of, like, culture as an online personality? You're also so young, right?
Yeah.
So, like, how do you deal with that? Do you get any negative, feedback on your videos, or do you kind of just brush it off?
How do you deal with that? You got a bunch of negative shit.
Yeah, to be honest, like, there's negative and there's positive, but the positive just far outweighs the negative.
Yeah.
So I just don't really, like, I just laugh because it's like, yo, if you take the time to make a negative comment on my post, you're just boosting the algorithm even more. So, like, go ahead and do it, say whatever you want, you know, send me all the DMs you want, because that just puts my profile on the explore page, you know.
Yeah.
I'm good with that, and it's just so much more love, you know. But I don't even really read the comments that much. Like, there's on a lot of my videos, like, when they go, like, crazy viral, they'll get like thousands,
it's just
comments,
too hard,
like,
to keep
like 10
up
20,000 comments, you know. Like, I can't read through that.
I would probably fight with all 20,000 people in the comments. But you let me.
I've seen Linda get in arguments with some of the followers sometimes.
Yeah.
And I agree with pretty much everything Linda says about all that shit.
I know, but you've seen me in a couple of battles, justice on social, on, yeah, on Truth Social. I don't back down. So I do not back down.
Something I started doing, though, which is like, I don't know if a lot of creators do it, but anytime like people DM me like positive stuff, I'll just open it and text them back.
Yeah.
Like just, I hope I go through all the message requests,
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to engage with people, and yeah, obviously engage with the positive more than the negative, for sure, because there is a lot of people that support you. I actually saved this audio on Instagram or TikTok, one of the two, that was like, nobody supports you like your friend on the internet. Like that random person that doesn't know you, that's never met you, like they believe in you, they believe in your dream, blah, blah, blah. It was like really beautiful. I wanted to make a TikTok with that for you guys, but it's just like, damn if you do, damn if you don't. And this is kind of like the situation that happens to us in Miami. You know, we lend our platforms and our time and efforts for free to parents, to citizens, doing what we thought was good for activism. We weren't
activists. Was our contribution to the activism.
We didn't really know the in and out or the game. And we, you know, even then, like I've said it before, the fact that we have no children is used against us as women, you know, as opposed to saying, wow, thank you for using your platform. If you don't have no kids, despite the fact not having children, you're still willing to put the school board protest or whatever it may be. Instead, it's like, well, if you have no children,
why would you,
by both sides, by the way, it's not just we've had, these people don't count as really conservatives, but nevertheless, the support that we get is so much greater.
Yeah, well, and that honestly, you know? I'm in a very different situation than you guys, because your guys' whole platform is your opinion, whereas my whole platform is other people's opinions.
Right, and I see that.
So it's like, right. I in a way, I get, like, if, you know, when they banned me on YouTube, like, they banned me for hate speech,
uh-huh,
and people were telling me, well, it's your choice, you have to bear responsibility because it's on your platform and you choose to post it, but a lot of the times in the comments, like, it's not about me. It's about the person in the video.
Of course,
you know?
You're not upset. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I guess that does make it different.
Yeah. Yeah.
It makes a huge difference. I'm out there defending my honor every single day.
But I mean, sometimes people get mad at me, and it is what it is. You know? That's life.
Sometimes Linda and I will be on the phone, and it's like 2 hours into our conversation, and we spend 40 of it completely quiet because both of us are fighting with
it's
people.
Hilarious. She's like, are you fighting?
I'm on Truth Social.
Today I was really...
Somebody just called out Warp Speed.
I was really mad this morning at the hostile environment of the DeSantis people. You know, I even attacked his press secretary, and I told her, I said, this is not a good look for you guys. Like, you don't exclude us. Like, we voted for the governor. Like, but I was going back and forth, and I was like, you guys are just, you know, this is like really messed up. Guys, before we move on, once again, we want to give a shout out to Century Wellness System. Our sponsor of the show today. And if you didn't catch us earlier, Century Wellness System is basically what Bella and I are going to start using.
Our new sponsor. I'm already using it. Our new sponsor, guys. Remember, no Illuminati, no lizard people, just patriots. Sensory H2O is our first official sponsor, and we are so excited. It's a product that we truly do believe in. Helps clear the fluoride and all of the other carcinogens that are in your water so that you can have good fresh tasting water for you. You can also support
pets.
Patriots, for your pets, for your children, but you're supporting Patriots in the process, you're supporting us, and also, but more importantly, it's a fraction of the cost of most products on the market.
It's like very, very affordable. So that is actually why we wanted to work with them too, because they are a very fair price, $279.99. With their code MPL10, you get 10% off. And one of the best things about this, especially for me because I live in an apartment, it's a very easy install. It's about 15 to 20 minutes under the sink install. And there you go. You have fresh water.
Especially in your apartment.
Especially if you have an apartment. And they are out of Arizona, USA made, America first. And they're patriots. They believe in our show, our content, and everything that has to do with America first.
So two contributions, guys, that we want to point out, Hablando Como Los Locos, our friend Melin and family. Hi, ladies, late but present. Keep up the great work. Those are our counterparts down here in South Florida bringing the news in Spanish. So if you got your abuela, your abuelo, or mommy, or papi, and they don't speak English and they want to keep up, check out Hablando Como Los Locos. We want to open up the floor to some questions, guys. Before so drop those in the chat before we go. Fortunately, we're not going to be able to be on for like 2 hours because my car got towed and I need to go get it out of the tow shop.
Well, no, we've been going on for an hour and a half, right, Angel? Says 92 minutes. So we're pretty, we've stretched this out. But any questions, please use the super chat. Help us out. We'll be here for a couple of other minutes if you want to ask our guests anything or us. If you want to know anything that goes on behind the scenes, you can ask us as well.
Like, I love how they're like, Linda on her workout ready to call everyone out yesterday. You were a mood yesterday. Linda woke up yesterday calling out all the MAGA grifters. She's like, I'm going to check every single one of your merch stores. And if one of you has a MAGA hat, I'm going full Karen on you.
Thank you so much, Reina. She just supported my small business. So, guys, also, if you need any Valentine's Day jewelry for your girlfriends, wives, sisters, if you want to buy any jewelry, I'm going to put my website right here, and you can use the code HOPE for 25% off. It's everything that I'm wearing, super cute stuff, affordable, luxury, water-resistant, tarnish-resistant. She's wearing it, too. There's also guide chains.
I need one of those guy chains.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We got you. My dog's got you. All right, guys. What questions do we have? Angel writes, every time I hear you guys say Angel, I'm like, yes.
Angel. Yeah, our amazing producer is, his name is Angel as well.
Because he is an angel.
Wait, before we go, Shani, where can our followers find you on Instagram and tell us?
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter. It's a very weird spelling. I apologize. SHANEYYRICCH. So Shani Rich with two Y's and two C's. And then TikTok is just Shani on Rumble. It's like my 8th, 9th TikTok account. It has like 60K followers.
Well, that's cool that they don't keep you shut down like by like IP address or anything like that.
I had to buy a new phone.
Oh, well, don't give like up all your secrets.
TikTok, if you're watching this, you are a Chinese platform and I do not like you. But I will still use your algorithm because it goes viral and it helps my brand. So thank you.
Absolutely. James asks, is there a place you guys specifically use to compare candidates? Can you be a little bit more specific?
Yes, my schizophrenic brain.
what do you mean? Like comparison in terms of like policies or anything like that? Let us know. Usually, like if it's like a local race or whatever, obviously we want to take a look at the Republicans first. If the party's supporting everyone, it's not that we just support who the party is supporting, but we obviously want to know if they have a good platform, and then we'll go from there. It's not like we have a lot of ashrams to choose from. You know, this is not Burger King. There's not a lot of good candidates out there, but usually that's what we do. Obviously, with Trump and DeSantis, is a little bit different. We've seen what both men can do at a state level, and we already know what the president did 4 years ago. So maybe if that answers your question, you meant.
I like the big clips question. This is a question for you, Linda. It says, what's your opinion on Nick Fuentes and the Gen Zers? Well, we've established that they can't get anywhere on time. just kidding. I can't get anywhere on time either.
Yeah. But also before that, Catherine had asked when we're going to do street interviews. Bella, we should do street interviews.
We should do street interviews this weekend.
He's here.
Yeah, maybe. We should do that. That'd be a great way for us to create content.
Weekend. If you're around, you can hang out.
Miami by storm this weekend.
You know? So
see you guys in South Beach.
We will probably do that. And also, so my opinion on Nick Fuentes is a very bright kid. So I know he's extremely
controversial,
and I know he said things that are very unpopular and inflammatory. Nevertheless, if you take away the stuff, a lot of stuff that these people say too is to get a reaction, right? They're comedians or actors, you know, they're trying to keep people entertained. And so if you take away that stuff and you listen to his America First, what is it, live podcast, whatever that he does, I've obviously done it for research purposes. We've covered Nick before. And you hear things that are extremely interesting and very eloquent and educated.
He's got some good takes. And I think that a lot of what he does is really just...
This is a very young kid. He's like 22 years old, and we're talking about his intelligence level is like, it's very
It's shocking. Do you think that it's says something about the pendulum when we've got people like Nick Fuentes and Shaney?
Oh my gosh, all the talent.
So much younger, and now like having this appreciation for conservative ideology. Because it's, I mean, is it just about politics for you, or is it bigger than that? Is it like the idea of like.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Our opponents read Ibram X. Kendi, our side reads Augustine. Mm-hmm. We are not the same.
We're not the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We, somebody asked if we're friends with Christian and Jamie. We haven't spoken to him in a bit. No negative thing to say. We obviously don't agree on some stuff. We wish him well. I definitely disagree with a lot of the things that, Jamie went about her anti-Trump derangement syndrome. And I talked to her about it on the side, and we just don't agree. And I don't appreciate it at all. And she knows that. But I do wish him well, and I know her mom passed away recently, so it's very sad, and, you know.
Oh, I didn't. I wasn't aware. Sorry,
yeah,
it was
really, really sad. I just found out about that. That's very, very sad. We obviously hope that she's doing well and that she's in good spirits, and thank God she has her fiancé to be on her side. Somebody asked, do you guys have a P.O. box? I do. I don't know it by memory, but I can, like, drop it tomorrow on Instagram for sure. And then...
Are you ladies going to take another shot?
Preguntan about no, I can't. I'm like literally
this
like.
This is literally rubbing alcohol. Yeah. I think that, o sea, Angel, tú no puedes traer otra cosa para tomar aquí por lo menos a little, you know, a spritzer que se le pueda echar un poco. What is this? Do you want us to go to jail? Hazme el favor.
I gotta drive.
Yeah, no, no,
well,
no.
You're also not of age, and I don't serve alcohol to minors.
Yeah. But guys, we are at 98 minutes, so you know I gotta take Bella to get her car from the towing truck.
Oh, but I'm having so much fun
from the towing. But
Justice, you want to tell us where it is that followers can find your channels?
Yeah, find me on Truth Social at Just Use A Pen, JustUseAPen, and on Rumble, my channel is Liberty and Justice. Justice is spelled like Just
Liberty and
us.
Justice for all.
Liberty and Justice.
Linda couldn't believe it. She's like, "What's his name?" I'm like, "Justice." She's like, "No, I get it. That's
but
his
it's
Instagram."
Spelled Just name. Us, so it's very romantic. And easy
I agree.
To remember. Thank you.
Justice. It's like a strong. Yeah. That's why we were asking you about your background. It's like, damn, it sounds like a.
Well, it's actually Roman. Strong.
That's exactly where we were headed. Like we're like that's what it sounds like.
My dad is from India. He's from the only Christian-ish part of India.
Oh wow!
And they went there. We can get into it on Saturday when we do the.
Oh, that's right, guys. We have another podcast going on. Linda and I are going to be on Justice's podcast on his Rumble channel. You already shared that, I believe.
Liberty and Justice.
Yeah. So
Rumble.
Follow us on Liberty and Justice, so that you can catch us on our video that we're going to be doing. And I know you did another interview with Shaney, so it's going to have lots of good content on there. He has a great interview on there with the great Liz Crokin that's doing great. That's gotten a lot of attention. So I would definitely suggest that you guys check that out too.
Pizzagate is real.
Yeah, well, let's see.
All right, guys. Well, we are logging off, and we will see you next week for sure. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe.
Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for having.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How do we do?
Are we still live?